ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवी सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जयामि धीरयेत् नास्तप्रयेषु अपदेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवाया भागवतीयुतमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 15, Verses 7 and 8, on the auspicious appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur Ki. I'll just chant the text number 7. And then we'll chant responsively text number 8. Nityantyami sikana idyamuda harinya kurvanti gopya ivate priyamikshanena shuktais chakokila ganagriham agataya danya vanokasa iyanhi satam nishargaha. Translation. O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These doe are pleasing you with the affectionate glances, just as the gopis do, and these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior towards you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. Text number 8. Danye yamadya darani trina virudastvat. Pados prisho druma lata karajamim shritraha. Nadyo jaya kagamriga sadaya valokair. Kopyantarena bhujayo apiyat spriya shri. Danya, fortunate. Iyam, this. Adya, now. Dharani, the earth. Trina, her grasses. Viruda, and bushes. Twat, your. Pada, of the feet. Sprisha, receiving the touch. Druma, the trees. Lataha, and creepers. Karaja, by your fingernails. Abhimrishtaha, touched. Nadyaha, the rivers. Adrayaha, and mountains. Kaga, the birds. Muriga, and animals. Sadaya, merciful. Avalokai, by your glances. Gopya, the gopis. Antarena, in between. Bhujayoho, your two arms. Api, indeed. Yat, for which. Spriha, maintains the desire. Srihi, the goddess of fortune. Translation purported by Srila Prabhupada. This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. The word Adya now indicates the time of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna's appearance on the earth. In his form of Varaha, Lord Krishna personally saved the earth. And indeed, the earth is understood to rest perpetually on the potency of Shesh. Both Varaha and Shesh are expansions of Balaram, who is himself an expansion of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna's statement that this earth has now become most fortunate, Danyayam Adyadarani, indicates that nothing can equal the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form as Krishna, appearing simultaneously with his personal expansion, Balaram. The compound word, Karaja Bimrishtaha, touched by your fingernails, indicates that as Krishna and Balaram would move through the forest, they would pick fruits and flowers from the trees, bushes, and creepers, and use this paraphernalia in their pleasure pastimes. Sometimes they would break leaves off the plants and use them with the flowers to decorate their bodies. Krishna and Balaram would glance lovingly and mercifully at all the rivers, hills, and creatures in Vrindavan. But the blessing received by the gopis, being embraced directly between the Lord's arms, was a supreme benediction, desired even by the goddess of fortune herself. The goddess of fortune, who lives in Vaikuntha on the chest of Lord Narayan, once desired to be embraced on the chest of Sri Krishna. And thus she performed severe austerities to achieve this blessing. Sri Krishna informed her that her actual place was in Vaikuntha, and it was not possible for her to dwell upon his chest in Vrindavan. Therefore, she begged Krishna to allow her to remain on his chest in the form of a golden lion, and he granted her this benediction. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recounts this incident from the Puranas. Om Agyane Timirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Adya indicates the time of Lord Balaram and Krishna's appearance on the earth, once in the day of Brahma, which is 4,300,000,000 years. The Lord descends with his brother Balaram and all his associates, cowherd boys, cows, gopis, and they walk around this particular area. In fact, Ramanreti is where Krishna and the cowherd boys have their pleasure pastimes, frolicking, wrestling. Krishna has various types of cowherd boyfriends, Priya Shakas, Shakas, and various other Shakas, with different flavors of the ras, the shakaras, friendship ras, friendship mellow, friendship relationship. where such fellows like Ojasvi and Devaprastha, they forget that Krishna is God. One time Srila Prabhupada said, we don't really care whether Krishna is God or not. We just want to love Krishna. We really don't care that much. So this is called the complete devotional service, completely devoid of the jnana vairagya, jnana aishvarya. Jnana aishvarya is awe and reverence when one is always seeing the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Kapila Dev tells Devahuti in the third canto, that the yogis meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, which acts as a bolt of lightning striking on the mountain of sin within their hearts. So the devotees of the Lord who have attained this mood of Sakya Ras, or friendship, or Madhurya Ras, conjugal love of God, or we know Dasya Ras, Patraka, and Raktaka, they had a sense of servitorship towards the Lord. They're not so concerned about the Lord's great opulence. In fact, we know that when Mother Yashoda told Krishna to open his mouth, Krishna opened his mouth and revealed the entire Virat Rupa to her, and she started offering these prayers of awe and veneration to the Lord. Krishna got very bored, and he covered her over by his Yogamaya potency, Purnamasi, who is in charge of covering all the devotees in Vrindavan with her internal Maya potency, Yogamaya. So Lord Krishna wants that feeling, wants to taste that feeling of completely unalloyed, untarnished love that flows like an ocean towards, flows like a river towards the ocean of Lord Krishna. So here, the Lord is benedicting Mother Earth by having his lotus feet touch down on this planet here, Bharatvarsha, once in a day of Brahma. And although he comes to Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, he comes to protect his devotees, like the Pandavas were protected by Krishna, although they went through so many trials and tribulations and so on. His main purpose is not just to destroy the demons, although he did destroy many, many demons. Every day he would kill another demon. And sometimes the coward boys, they would feel that Krishna must be very exhausted, always fighting with the demons, Bakasura, Denukasura, Agasura, Aristasura, so many demons that they thought, let's massage Krishna's legs and arms. And so they would lie Krishna down on the arms of Sridham, and he would receive massage from Devaprastha and Vishal and other cowherd boys, and they would be thinking, oh, we have to, you know, get him back, you know, to feeling nice after exerting himself so much with all these demons. Of course, Krishna effortlessly is supporting all the universes on his hoods in the form of Lord Shesh, as described here. Lord Shesh is an expansion of the quadruple expansions, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Lord Shesh is holding up all the universes in the entire creation here. So Krishna doesn't exert himself. Effortlessly he does everything without any effort. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natachamascha vyarikastra jishyate savasya shaktir vividhai vishriyate subhavaki jnana balaki kriyacha. That Lord Krishna, he can eat with his eyes. He creates universes simply by desiring it. They emanate from the pores of Karanadakshay Vishnu. like that, without any effort. Krishna doesn't have to, he's not subjected to pavarga. Pafa ba ba ma. Fa means, comes from the word finila, which means frothing at the mouth. Everyone's working hard in the material world, they're frothing at the mouth, finila, to get something. The struggle for existence, karshati, the struggle for existence. Krishna's not struggling at all. But the cowherd boys, the elderly gopas and gopis, they're worried about Krishna. Krishna has to eat. Mother Yashoda used to feed Krishna 8 times a day. She would have prasadam prepared for him. And she would always take Krishna over to Varshana, to Radharani's home, because we know that Radharani was blessed by Durvasa Muni to, you know, cook such wonderful prasadam, that unprecedented prasadam, unparalleled prasadam. And she didn't have to cook the same thing twice. So Mother Yashoda would take Krishna over to the house of Kirtida, and Radharani would be cooking there. So these are all the wonderful pastimes going on right now as we speak. Nitya Lila. And Pramanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. If we have the eyes smeared with the salve of love of God, which is being given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his downline of the great acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, the six Goswamis, when they were here, they could actually see these pastimes of Lord Krishna going on as they looked at their deities, Madan Mohan, Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda. They would see pastimes of the Lord going on. And these pastimes are going on in this Dham, Vrindavan Dham, eternally. Sometimes we saw Srila Prabhupada in a mood of trance. He was chanting Jayarada Madhav in Mayapur. Was that 76? Yeah, I think it was 75 or 76. And, you know, he went in... He started experiencing these symptoms of love for Krishna, ecstatic love, and he couldn't keep singing and chanting. As he was chanting Jayaradama, he said, "This is a perfect picture of Vrindavan. Perfect picture." And he went into a state of trance, samadhi, as you may say. And devotees started, he said, "Just chant Hare Krishna." So these are great, great Mahajans. These are modern-day Mahajans. Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and others. They've attained the highest levels of pure love of God. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful in Kali Yuga. There's so many faults in Kali Yuga that he's magnanimous, Mahavadanya. He's giving this love for Krishna very freely, very easily. Here in Dwapara Yuga, we know that Krishna he has to arrange the killing of all the unruly kings like Jarasandha, Bhomasura. You know, they locked up all the kings in their dungeon, Jarasandha, and he was offering them to Lord Shiva. And Bhomasura, he captured all the queen, all the princesses, locked them up, and Krishna came and killed him. So the world, when being overburdened by demoniac influences, Krishna has to do some killing. Kali Yuga, the entire world is drowning in this ocean of darkness, Kalir Dosha Nide Rajan. The only hope is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has invested all his potency, Nam Namakari Bahudani Jasharva Shaktis, in the holy name of the Lord. Rupa Goswami says, "I can't imagine how much potency this holy name of the Lord has. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. When I chant the names of the Lord, I wish to have millions of tongues. And when the holy name enters my ears, I wish to have millions of ears. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of my heart, my senses become inert and I can do nothing. I become stunned. So Radharani, when she would hear the two syllables, Krishna, her hairs would stand on end. And we hear from Rupa Goswami that when Krishna was wandering around in the forest here and with Madhu Mangal, and he heard Radha from the lips of Purnamasi, immediately his hair stood on end as well. So Krishna is also experiencing this ecstatic love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. People wonder, how is it that Krishna, when he was holding up Govardhan Hill, his hands started shaking? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna wasn't, you know, nervous or weak or something like this, but that when he saw the overwhelming love that the inhabitants of Vrindavan had for him, his hands started shaking. And when he saw the beautiful, radiant love of Radharani and her beautiful features, his hands started shaking. So, in the end of this, we read that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she performs 60,000 years of austerities. And she still couldn't get to participate in the more intimate leelas of Krishna with the gopis. So although she performed all these austerities, because she is delegated to live in Vaikuntha with Lord Narayan, and there's awe veneration there, there's a bit of tarnish there of pure love. So as a benediction and as a favor, Krishna allowed her to reside on his chest as a Srivatsa curl, a golden line of hair on Krishna's chest. He's benedicted her in this way. But she's never allowed to enter into the more intimate pastimes of the Lord or the Rasa Leela dance. She was never given the favor of dancing with Krishna during the Sharat season on the full moon night. Even the demigods came to look at Krishna dancing on that night of Rasa Leela. Lord Brahma attended on his white swan. Lord Shiva attended, and he became so overwhelmed with ecstasy looking at the beautiful dancing of Krishna and the gopis that he started beating on his dim-dim drum and chanting very loudly. Through the whole universe could hear his chanting. And Lord Indra, he also attended. Many of the demigods attended right here in Vrindavan to watch the Rasa Leela dance of Lord Krishna and the gopis. And from the eyes of Lord Indra, all his eyes, tears of love were pouring, tears of ecstasy were pouring down on the Krishna and the gopis dancing. This is described by the Acharyas. So today marks the appearance day of one of the greatest devotees in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, a very wonderful devotee of the Lord. And I've taken some notes from Mother Sitala's book called The Glorious Life of Narottam Das Thakur. So we know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj, that sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would enter into the body of devotees. One of them was Nrisinghananda Brahmachari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into his body and empowered him. And anyone that saw Nrisinghananda Brahmachari, they would also become infected by the disease of love of God. And Nakula Brahmachari, another person who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his body, he became empowered to spread the glories of the holy name throughout the area of Nadia. And he was also empowered to understand Shivananda Sena, who had doubts that this person was actually empowered by Lord Chaitanya. Similarly, we see other great devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that they were empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write so many copious amounts of songs illustrating the philosophy and the Vaishnava Siddhanta. And we also know Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was personally sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to revive Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the line coming down from Madhavacharya, Lord Brahma. The Sankirtan mission of the Lord has to sometimes be renovated or repaired or revived because of the pushing of Kali Yuga. We see that Srila Prabhupada himself told Bhavananda that in the spiritual world, Krishna was saying, I want you to go down there and write these books. Srila Prabhupada was empowered to write these thousands and thousands of purports and commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would even often say, I didn't write, Krishna's dictating to me, and I'm simply the instrument, Savyasachin, you're an instrument. So, similarly, Narottam Das Thakur, he was empowered by the Lord. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, his associates, were chanting along the Ganges, the Padmavati River in West Bengal. And he was chanting in ecstasy. And he was prior to his departing from the world. And Lord Nityananda was dancing, and suddenly the kirtan stopped. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was looking towards Kitturi. Kitturi is the birthplace of Narottam Das. And he started saying, Narottam, Narottam. He was crying out the name of Narottam. No one knew, who is this Narottam? He wasn't born yet. And Lord Nitai said to Lord Chaitanya, who is this Narottam? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in the future this person will take birth in Kitturi, and he will be totally imbued with my gift of love of God. And in this way the Sankirtan movement will continue to spread throughout West Bengal, throughout the world, throughout Orissa, throughout this entire area. And the Sankirtan movement will be spread in this way and continue on. The rays of love of Godhead will be spread everywhere. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually fainted at that point from remembering the glorious personality, Narottam Das Thakur. So we know that his father was Krishnanda Dutt, and his mother was Narayani, and his father was the king of a small kingdom in Kitturi. And he was always pining, always desiring a son, but they weren't able to have a son. So he was praying to his deity. He was very pious. He would serve all the sadhus traveling through Kitturi. And one day he heard a voice in the room in his palace. It said, you don't worry, you'll have a son, his name will be Narottam, and he'll be glorious, he will be very auspicious, and he will be the best of humans, he will spread all auspiciousness throughout the world. And he heard the oracle and he was wondering if he was actually hearing things. But then his wife came a few days later and said that she had a dream that a very glowing personality had transferred from the body of her husband into her body. And they called an astrologer, and the astrologer confirmed that they were going to have a son. And he even predicted his name would be Narottam, the best of all human beings, Narottama. So certainly a few months later, Naraini got pregnant, and the son was born. Prior to this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had gone to the Padmavati River, and as he entered the river started overflowing, and from the river appeared the goddess Padmavati, very beautifully dressed, decorated with beautiful ornaments. Someone's phone. And she came out of the river and asked the Lord, "Yes, my Lord, what? How can I serve you?" The Lord says that I have the treasure of love of Godhead here with me, and I want you to keep it in safety, safekeeping, because there's a certain person who will appear after I leave the planet, and I want you to give this to him. And Padmavati said, "Well, how will I recognize this person?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he enters the river, just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the river was overflowing its banks and swirling, the waves were swirling and overflowing. He said, when Narottam enters this river, the river will do the same thing, it'll overflow its banks. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this treasure of love of Godhead for Padmavati to hold on to and keep in safekeeping. So after Narottam was growing up, at a very young age, he had mastered Sanskrit, he had mastered many of the mundane teachings that his teachers were teaching him. But as he was growing up, by the age of 12, he started losing his interest in these material things, and he was obviously a great vairagi. He became very detached from materialistic life. We see this parallel behavior in persons like Raghunath Das, whose father was also very wealthy. He was collecting 200,000 gold coins every month. And Raghunath Das's father and mother were always keeping him close and had him guarded. Similarly, Narottam Das's father was very worried about him not, you know, developing materialistic qualities, and he wanted his son to grow up and inherit the kingdom and run the kingdom and levy taxes and deal with, you know, governmental types of duties. So Narottam was very, very eager to hear about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about great saints, and he would sneak off into the village and associate with the pilgrims that were traveling to Jagannath Puri. And one day he met a very advanced old sadhu named Krishnadas. And Krishnadas had associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Narottam Das invited Krishnadas to the palace, and every day Krishnadas would recite and relate the various pastimes of Mahaprabhu. In this way, Narottam developed a great, a strong lolya shamai, a great eagerness to be part of Lord Chaitanya's mission and movement, and develop this treasure of love of God, Krishna Prema. And his father became so concerned about this that he kept Narottam practically like a prisoner in the palace. So one night, as Narottam was in anguish about his predicament of not being able to go to Puri and go to Navadvip and involve himself in the Sankirtan movement of the Lord, At this time, a few decades after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, many of his disciples in Bengal had already had children and grandchildren, and he knew about this. So Narottam was lying there, and Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream and said, "Narottam, get up." He said, "You have to go down to the Padmavati River and receive a gift that Lord Chaitanya has been keeping for you in the river." So Narottam, he somehow got out of the window of the palace, and he scaled down the wall, and he ran to the Padmavati River. And as his feet entered into this river, the river overflooded its banks, and there appeared a beautiful goddess. And in her hand she had a beautiful golden lotus flower. And as she extended her arms towards Narottam, Narottam was all completely amazed. "Who is this? What is happening?" And from this lotus flower manifested a beautiful golden child. And this golden child immediately morphed himself into the body of Narottam Das. And immediately Narottam's body, which was considered darkish in complexion, transformed into a golden body. And Narottam Das Thakur immediately became overwhelmed by all the ecstatic symptoms of love of God. There are 32 symptoms of love of God. Tears were flowing from his eyes like a syringe manner, and his hairs were standing on end. Sometimes he would stand and sometimes he'd roll on the ground. He would laugh uncontrollably. He didn't know what was going on. His body was trembling. He'd become possessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pure love of God. Meanwhile, his parents were frantically looking for him with the guards, and they saw Narottam in the distance by the river. And they went there, and they couldn't understand Narottam Das Thakur's incredible, extraordinary behavior. And so they somehow were able to take him back to the palace. But Narottam was so overwhelmed by love of God, by this gift of love of God, by the fruit of Krishna Prem, that he was uncontrollable. And they didn't know what to do with him. So this went on for some time. And eventually, the Muslim king in that area, who presided over all the various small kings like Krishnanandan, the father of Narottam, he wanted Narottam's father and his entourage to bring Narottam and visit the Muslim emperor. He had heard about Narottam Das. So Narottam saw this as an opportunity to perhaps escape. So that night, Narottam did have a dream, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Narottam, don't worry. I'm arranging everything for you to go to Vrindavan, and I want you to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami." Lokanath Goswami had actually gone to Navadvip during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, and he had great attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's a great devotee of the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed him, "I want you to leave Navadvip and go to Vrindavan and renovate and re-establish all the various places of Krishna's pastimes." And Lokanath Swami, with great tears in his eyes and great feelings of separation, did obey Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders and transferred to Vrindavan, where he was involved in renovating and re-establishing the various places that we see today of Krishna's pastimes. Kali Yagat, Vamsivat, Keshi Ghat, all these various places. So Narottam was in a palanquin on the way in the procession towards the Muslim king, and he took an opportunity in the middle of the night to escape, sneak away from the party, and run through the forest. And he didn't actually know which way he was going, but he just ran and ran and ran for days. His body was so exhausted. And finally, running and running for many days, he crashed. And as he was under a tree, hardly having eaten or drank for days, simply obsessed with going to Vrindavan, he was apprehended by the king's guards, his father's guards. And they told him, "You have to come back, your mother and father in such great anxiety." And Narottam was in great pain because the devotee's heart is very soft. Even Arjuna, he was in great pain when Krishna told him, "You have to kill all your relatives and your teachers and your cousins and your grandfather." So the Vaishnava, although he has to do things, he still feels some pain and compassion for those who he may cause harm to. So Narottam, although he's feeling great pain, he was persistent, he prevailed. And he left the soldiers and continued on and came to Varanasi. Eventually he met an old Brahmin in Mathura, and the Brahmin brought him to Vrindavan. And the first temple he saw was the Govindaji temple. And he entered that temple, took darshan of Govinda. He was in such ecstasy. And then he wanted to see Lokanath Goswami. So by this time, Jiva Goswami and his disciples, they were still in Vrindavan. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj was still alive, very old. And Raghunath Das Goswami, they were still alive. So there are many great Vaishnavas of Lord Chaitanya still living in Vrindavan. And of course, Narottam wanted to meet all these great personalities he had heard about. Jiva Goswami told him that you can gradually, you'll be able to see Lokanath Goswami, but he is very reclusive and he lives in a bower in the forest. And he simply does his nirjan bhajan. And he's simply pining away, "Where is your Mahaprabhu? Where is Mahaprabhu?" So there's so many different pastimes. Narottam Das, when he took a glimpse of Lokanath Goswami, he immediately accepted him within his heart as his spiritual master. And Lokanath Goswami was approached by him. Jiva Goswami gave his blessings. "Yes, take initiation." But Lokanath Goswami had taken a vow never to initiate. So gradually Narottam Das had to figure out a way how he could win the heart and become initiated by Lokanath Goswami, who had given him his heart to. And he would go at midnight to where the stool pit of Lokanath Goswami was, and he'd bring a bucket and clean the area, a bucket of water, and clean the area where Lokanath Goswami would answer the call of nature. So Lokanath Goswami realized that someone was cleaning his area of his area of nature calling. And so one night he waited, and he caught Narottam cleaning. He said, "Why are you doing this? I don't need this service. I'm the most fallen," and so on. And Narottam was begging him, "Please accept me." So after a year of doing this service, and after so much anguish experienced by Narottam Das, and so much surrender to Lokanath Goswami, "Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nakati katopi." By pleasing this spiritual master, he was accepted as his disciple. And so a great festival was organized by Jiva Goswami. And during this time, we know that Srinivasacharya and Shamananda and Narottam, they were the three primary, most prominent students of Jiva Goswami, who was teaching all the intricate aspects of devotional service, how to practice devotional service, and the philosophy and siddhanta of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattvam. We are simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattvam. So it's 9 o'clock. Yes, Prabhu Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
We heard yesterday in the class about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not sure if you have read it. Just to confirm, if you read it from the book of Siddhartha Bhaktivedanta, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Nityananda was crying in ecstasy, somehow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received some of this tears of joy, tears of ecstasy, and he deposited this in Padmavati River.
Oh, okay.
Did you read that in that book?
I haven't read that in Sitala's book, but that's... That's an addition to the nectar.
Yeah, well, that's why I've never heard of this one. So maybe I have to ask him on some area.
Panchagoda seems to know about this.
I think they did mention it in the Nityananda Charitamrita. I've heard it before. Anyway, it sounds really good. Yeah. I have to hear some fasting.
Thank you, sir.
No more.
This is just a small sample of Narottam Das Thakur's life. I mean, I just touched on probably the first chapter of his life. So Jiva Goswami has he's acquired and collected all the various manuscripts of the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada. He wrote 100,000 Sanskrit verses describing devotional service, of which we know the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the most important of all his writings. But he wrote also the Upadeshamrita, what to speak of Sanatana Goswami, Pancharachaki Vidhi, and Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So many literatures written, manuscripts. So Jiva Goswami had an assignment for his three students that these manuscripts would be loaded onto an ox cart. There were thousands of verses written by these great Goswamis. They were very much empowered. Yes, Prabhu.
When you go into like a candy store, many varieties of candy are available. They're all sweet. You want to taste them all. So naturally, we have so many great acharyas and so much wonderful literature to help enliven us. How do we not overdose on certain candies and which candies to eat? How do we choose?
In the Gita, Krishna describes, you know, to Arjuna, what are the elements of knowledge? And one of them is acharyopashanam. Acharyopashanam means that we have to take direction from our acharya and our acharyas. And they very explicitly tell us what kind of candy we should eat and what kind of candy we're not ready for. When we read Prabhupada's Krishna book, there's the introduction to the Rasa Leela. And in there, there's a lot of technical instructions and directives given by Srila Prabhupada to prepare us to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's rasa dancing, which is in the next chapter, the following chapter. So similarly, many of the Goswami's books are so lofty, it would be very difficult for a person like myself, who is merely a neophyte in the beginning stages of devotional service. Sadhana Bhakti, there is Vedi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. So Vedi Bhakti is when we first come to Krishna consciousness. Being guided by the Acharya, we have to force ourselves to chant the holy names, force ourselves to follow the principles and to study Shastra, etc., etc., etc. And we're given so many different tools, so many different weapons to fight Maya. In the second stage, one becomes more spontaneous in our devotional service. It's called Raga Bhakti. It's still under the umbrella, under the category of Sadhana Bhakti, but one is more spontaneous. One likes chanting the holy name. One loves doing kirtan. One feels some happiness when he's chanting and glorifying the Lord. Katayantaschamam nityam, right? Tushanti cha, ramanti cha, like that. So that stage is the Madhyamadikaris, and many Prabhupada want us all to become Madhyam. Don't stay Kanishta. Don't do Nirjan Bhajan. Prabhupada criticized that. So these candies, we have to see, are we qualified? Well, to a certain degree, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mean, Rupa Goswami's, there's quotes in there by Krishnadas Kaviraj from Vidagdha Madhava about Radharani's feeling of conjugal affection for Krishna, Krishna's feelings of conjugal love for the gopis. So these things are there, but they're done within a context. So if the candy is a little too sweet, we have to be a little careful.
Devotees felt, well, we should read the most intimate. Maybe we should put on saris and feel like, you know, in the mood as devotees. And Prabhupada was very angry at that as well.
True.
Prabhupada warned us not to hear from outside, even to his own brothers. So there are many books, the Yoga Lords are, like, so many translations, so we have our own devotees who are also translated some of the works of the Goswamis, Kusatra Prabhu. And the tendency also, if you read from outside of our family, the speculation will be there and will become sentimental. So you're right, it's beyond, some of these topics are beyond our... We cannot even get up from Mangal Arti. What to say of talking about lofty or having philosophy?
You know, there are God brothers who are more involved in the movement or devotees, and we have to respect them. We always want to stay under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. He's an empowered Shaktivish avatar, there's no question. It's a miracle what he did, and he did it by himself. In fact, he appealed to his godbrothers for help, and there was no response. So Krishna really wanted him to, and Bhaktisiddhanta even said, he will just leave him alone, he'll do the needful in due course of time. So it's very rare to see someone empowered by Lord Krishna, completely empowered in love of God, like Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. So his books, his writings are embellished with the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. His every word is embellished with the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna. That is very, very extraordinary, unique, and it can be imitated. It cannot be imitated. So we hear from Prabhupada the relationships within the spiritual world, and we take that guidance. But Prabhupada once said to us, if your mind's becoming agitated by reading Rasa Lila, then don't read it. He actually told us that when we were early 70s, you know, we were like young and passionate, you know. So if you're qualified, then you can read books he's given. I mean, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, a lot of intimate descriptions there in that book. And also in the Krishna book Prabhupada gave us, Krishna is embracing the gopis and so on. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Anchalila, there are quotes there by Rupa Goswami from the Vidagdha Madhava, very intimate aspects. But Srimad Bhagavatam starts with the lotus feet of Krishna. First, deal with his lotus feet, and gradually move up to his knees, to his thighs, to his, you know, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10, 12 cantos. Way before the 10th canto, you know, there's the various things, the summum bonum of life, creation, the jiva, time, place, all 10 themes are there before we get to the understanding who Krishna is. And Arjuna in the 11th chapter, he sees Krishna's universal form, then Krishna shows his forearm form, then he shows his two-arm form. And he says, Bhaktastu ananyaya shakyam, ahamevam vidorjuna. You can only see my two-armed intimate form by devotional service devoid of fruitive desires and mental speculation. Ananyaya, mental speculation, jnana yoga, jnana bhakti. There's even jnana bhakti where we may speculate, like Maharaj is saying, speculate about living in Radha Kund and getting into the mood of the gopi. This is totally condemned by Srila Prabhupada, totally rejected. He never wanted any of us to become Babaji's and try to enter into some esoteric, some, no. When you're qualified, Krishna will qualify you. Spiritual master, yes, yes, he'll qualify you when you're ready. When we're ready, everything will happen. You know, deserve then desire. So, very, very careful. We have to be very careful on this path of bhakti. It's not easy. It isn't easy. Very difficult. Many, many pitfalls, many obstacles, many... Maya has millions of different weapons in her arsenal. And Prabhupada's given us the weapons in his arsenal. And we have to take those weapons and use them. The first one is strong sadhana. Get up early and attend Brahma Muhurta hour, you attend the worship of the Lord. Mangal Arti, very important. Chanting good rounds in association with devotees. Associating with devotees, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping. This is described by Rupa Goswami, the five most important of the 64 practices in devotional service. Association of devotees, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting of the holy names, living in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura, and did I say studying Srimad Bhagavatam? There's one more. Pardon? Deity worship, I'm sorry. Yes, Archanam. Archanam, worshipping the deity. Very important, very powerful. So that's what we have to embrace, especially associating with devotees. That means chanting with them together, glorifying the Lord. It means avoiding prajalpun, gramya katha. That's not association, sitting around gramya katha. That's That's not our association. That's bringing someone down, you know. And contaminations are there when we talk Gramya Katha, then we get contaminated by envy and so on, which is Vaishnava Aparad. So that's Hati Mata, that's the elephant offense, envy against Vaishnavas. I think Hare Krishna.
Difficult, but it is possible. Difficult, the process, but
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, it's, in one sense it's easy. Thank you for modifying my statement. In one sense it's easy. If we hold close to Srila Prabhupada's instruction, it's easy. But if we start deviating and wandering off into the ocean, especially if we're living in a place like America, where there's so much bhoga and aishvarya, very, very dangerous, very dangerous. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.